If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to be reading out of the second chapter of the book of Luke. I mentioned to you last Sunday morning that on Christmas Eve, I will be reading more of the second chapter of the book of Luke than what I plan to read this morning. However, as Joyce was speaking about the shepherds, I wanted to say, hey, hold up a minute, because you're starting to get some of my message, but that's all right. I don't have to say it then. But I think probably in answer to your question, why we wonder about some of these things, it's truly should be a miracle to each one of us that God chose to send His Son through the lowly means that He did. And what Joyce said is correct. He could have come any way that God would have chosen, but He chose to bring Him and to come as a servant, doing the will of His Father. And He did not come that first time as the King of Kings, but in a very lowly way. The Bible says that Mary, after that the angel had spoken unto her, and she did, you know, she did wonder about it. She said, how can these things be, seeing I've never known a man? And the angel explained to her how that she would conceive of the Holy Ghost, of God Almighty, and that it was not going to be the natural processes that everyone else had experienced. So she did wonder. She asked basically the same question that Zacharias had asked, but she got a totally different response, and that should be expected. If I recall correctly, that she was probably, as best I recall, somewhere around 16 years of age, very young. And I was thinking the other day that you think about how old she was then when the Lord was crucified. She was still a very young lady. And certainly, as she went through all of this, the Bible says, and she pondered these things. She kept them and pondered them in her heart. So she had a lot to be thinking about. I'll probably talk more about her also in my next message, which will be the 24th. I should have announced probably that we will not have church nor Sunday school next Sunday morning. It'll be our Christmas program in place of both of those. So everybody understands that. There were a lot of things that happened during this time. There are a lot of things that we have included in our Christmas pageantry that are traditional rather than scriptural, and so we just need to kind of keep those things in mind. There's no scriptural basis for it being December the 25th, but I've always said, you know what, we've set a date that we make an observance of the Lord's birth. Now, unfortunately, we've gotten away from the idea of His birth, and we've turned it pretty much as a world into a time of commercialism, and we get away from what it really is all about. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I want to just stop right there, and I'm not going to spend all my time here, which I'm going to get out of here on time this morning, if all possible, in defending my position on whether the angel sing or not. But I do want you to understand that when the angel came here and spoke unto these men who were out here, and again, God chose some very unusual people to be the ones to hear this message. These men were the commoners, so to speak, of that day, if even they could be considered to be common. Their livelihood was a rough livelihood. They were out here, and they were taking care of their flocks. They were out here of a night, you know, which was again somewhat unusual, that they were there, which would probably be more indicative of the fact that it was not in the winter time, because they would have come in to the cities and brought their herds in with them. However, they were out here, and the angel appeared unto them, an angel of the Lord, and the Bible says they were sore afraid. Now, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We need to have a godly fear about us, but we do not need to be afraid of God, in the sense that, you know, we don't want to get this idea that those people had in that day that any encounter with God like this was a sure sign they were going to die. And if you think about it, if you go back over in the creation of man, when God had created man and placed him in the garden, when did man become fearful? After he had disobeyed the voice of God. After sin had entered into the world. Because up until that point in time, there's no indication that there was not a perfect relationship between God and Adam, whom he had created. But you may remember that whenever that the Lord, after Adam had sinned, and the Lord came to him and said, "Where art thou, Adam?" And he said, "I am here. I hid myself amongst the trees of the garden, for I was afraid." Now, what was he afraid of? He hadn't been afraid of God before. He hadn't been worried about anything like this before, but all of a sudden, he's become fearful because sin has now come in. And so we've got this thing. The people in Egypt, whenever that the Lord had said, "The death angel is going to pass through the land this night," don't you think for a single second that those people weren't fearful of what was going to happen? You see, it isn't out of the ordinary that these shepherds were fearful when this angel appeared unto them, because all of their lives they had heard that anything like this was to happen, it was a sure death warrant for you. And so they were afraid when this angel appeared unto them and said, you know, that the Lord had sent him. They were fearful because they thought they were going to die. When the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, it said, you know, you've got some things that you need to do. And as that death angel went from house to house, I'm sure those people who were there, even those who had the blood applied, there was no question in my mind that they would have been concerned about whether or not the death angel was going to pass over their household. You may remember that whenever that Moses was out there and was going up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, that the people were instructed, you don't go near the mount, and if any of you do, or an animal does, and touches it, you'll die. So, you know, we sometimes come up with these things and say, well, why in the world would people be afraid? Well, unfortunately, our people today aren't afraid of anything. And I mean that in all sincerity. You know, there are some things we need to be fearful of, but I think for the most part that we just think that we're always talking about, you know, teenagers as to how that they feel like that they're just indestructible and that there's nothing that's ever going to happen to them. But we never have grown out of that, people. We still got this same idea. Nothing's ever going to happen to us. We're just going to keep it going along here. Everything's going to be all right. It's not going to be impacting us, but it does. And we need to understand that many of the things that happen to people in life, we are subject to those same happenings. They're not all bad, but they're not all good either. Anyway, the angel said to them, "Fear not, You don't need to be afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I have good news for you. Can you imagine? And all the fear here that this angel is having a difficult time in convincing them that he has good news. We have the good news to tell today. We need to be as excited about telling about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as we are about how many presents are under the tree or why the angel is on the top of the tree. Unfortunately, I don't have an angel on the top of mine. Joyce, I have a star on the top of mine, and I don't know why I have a star either. But you know, we as God's people need to be able to understand that we have a good message to send. We have a good thing that we need to be telling people about as we go through this season of the year. And unfortunately, we become so obsessed and overtaken with all of the pressures of the present time that we forget that we do have that good message to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. Unto us. Can you imagine? Here they are. They're shepherds out here. And the angel says, He's born unto you. Now, we need sometimes to make that personal. We need to get it down to that level. God does not deal in masses. God deals in persons. He deals in individuals. He deals with us one at a time. Every single one of us. He has that ability to do that in masses, but it comes down to that we are being dealt with as individuals. Every single one of you here this morning have the opportunity to enjoy the presence of the Lord in your heart and in your life as an individual. I can remember when I first started preaching, and some of the old preachers had this idea, well, if the church don't pray for me, I won't be able to preach. Well, I learned a long time ago whether or not I'm able to preach doesn't depend upon whether the church prays or not. What depends upon whether or not the Lord allows me to preach His Word is whether Kent Parson has himself right with the Lord. And I will guarantee you that if I've got a church full of people that nobody's praying, the Lord will probably give me a message about praying. I can't blame everybody else for everything. And certainly I can't take credit. I will tell you this, that it's always helpful whenever a church is praying for the preacher that he be delivered of the message that God gives him. Now, I mean that in all sincerity. And I know for a fact that many times you get the feeling to where that you just think, you know, he's been doing it so long and he does it so often that it just he's going to be able to do it anyway. Well, that's not true. That's not true. I'm sorry, folks. I don't want to disillusion you or disappoint you this morning, but it still takes just as much of the Spirit and the power of the Lord to proclaim the gospel as it ever has in all my years of preaching. And I mean that. I still have to have His help. Well, the angel, though, said, He is sent unto you. Didn't say He's going to be sent to the elite. Didn't say He's being sent to those that are in high places. He's being sent to you, the very lowliest of people. How thankful I am today that God, whenever that He saw fit to send His Son into the world, said, I'm sending Him down there not only for those shepherds out there tending their flocks, but I'm sending Him for Kent Parson, who's going to come along hundreds of years later, but who's going to need my salvation the same as anyone else does. And that I care as much for him as I do for any of those others. And I care just as much for them as I do for him. Fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now then, the angel said, I'm going to give you some directions here, because I'm going to send you in there to see this child. And I want you to know where, first of all, you're going to go. Then I want you to know what you can expect and who it is that you're looking for and how you're going to identify him when you get there. God hasn't changed that today, people. God still tells us where he wants us to go. Some of you might have looking like, well, where is he going? You know. Well, let me tell you, God didn't just save you for you to say, glory, glory, hallelujah. He saved you to carry out his work, to carry on his work, and to tell others about him, and to glorify him, to magnify him, to let others know why we're celebrating this time of the year. And then he not only said, this is where I want you to go, this is who you're going to find. Remember whenever that the Lord had spoken to Ananias and said, Ananias, I've got a little job for you to do. I want you to go down there and I'll send you down to the city and I'll tell you the street that I want you to go to. And I'll tell you the house number that I want to, or the house that I want you, not the number, the house that I want you to go to. And then I'll tell you who it is that I want you to go in there and see. That's pretty specific. He was sending him down to Saul of Tarsus. There wasn't any question about where he was sending him, who he was sending him to, and why he was sending him. And so God lets us know these things. And so the angel said to these men, he says, you're going to find this child. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in it. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, not singing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I suspect probably if I pick up another version other than the King James, some of them may say singing. I don't know that. But that just makes good sense, doesn't it? Because that's what we all want to do. We want to hear those angels sing this. And I would say probably I've read it 100 times, and I may have probably said sometime, and the angel was singing, glory to God in the highest. But it doesn't. I went back and read it again. Because once I read where the W.A. said there wasn't any angels singing the Word of God, my first thought was, oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is, right here, whenever that they came there to the shepherds. And then I went back and read it, and it doesn't say they were singing, it says they were saying. But you see, when they got the message, there was one angel who came and told them, not the whole multitude of them yet. See, we got to get them in order here. Not that it's critical, folks, but good Lord, sometimes we just need to see what it says. Instead of what we've just always thought. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I got to read. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What an excited group of men after they had been and seen the Savior in comparison to the same group of men who had been frightful, afraid, and apprehensive before they went to see him. Many of our people today are afraid or apprehensive and are very hesitant when you tell them the good news. But I can assure you this morning that once they have experienced that birth of the Savior, they cannot do anything except and go on their way rejoicing and excited and happy about what has happened and what they have experienced. Thank you for your good attention this morning, for your presence. I've kidded with you a little bit this morning, but I also hope that you've understood that there is a seriousness about this, and that I didn't leave you with thinking it was light, because this is a very critical portion of the Word of the Lord, probably next to the most important that there is.